The healthcare detective, Frank Lally, has written a book for Simon & Schuster about how to get affordable healthcare. Called Your Best Healthcare Now, it is available online, in-store, wherever fine books are sold. Mr. Lally is also the health correspondent for Parade and the former editor of Money and George magazines. Drugs, Frank, drugs.
Drugs, drugs. Well, first, before we talk about drugs, I'm going to get to Michelle Willens Lane here. Last night we went to the Metropolitan Opera. We saw Porgy and Bess.
Did you love it?
Great. Oh, my God. It was so wonderful. If you can get a ticket, and it ain't easy. This is about the hottest ticket now, some people said, in the world. But if you can get a ticket, I highly recommend it. Angel Blue is Bess. Eric Owens is Porgy. 60-person chorus. Orchestra filled to overflowing, fabulous dancing. I guess they call it choreography when it's at the Met. It was an absolute treat. So that's my plug for Porgy and Bess. So we go from ecstatic, okay,
to not so ecstatic.
This is really, really annoying. So I got a question for you today. What good is a miracle drug if you need a miracle to afford to pay for it? So in the past decade, Big Pharma has used this cutting-edge research they have to develop amazing drugs and gene-altering treatments to save countless lives. Now, Jill, you and I have talked about this a lot. I am one of those lives. There's an amazing drug being developed at the University of Pennsylvania. There's a clinical trial for it. Took my white blood cells and with this help of this drug added to my own white blood cells, it attacked my specific mutation. I've been cancer-free for more than 2 years now. So that's amazing. But the companies creating drugs like that are pricing their miracle medicines at anywhere from $300,000, that's the low end, okay, to $2 million a year, and that's for each patient. So who can pay those prices? So far, Medicare and Medicaid, large companies are picking up the tab in most instances, okay? But smaller companies and trade unions, they're actually dropping their coverage of the most expensive drugs, the ones that save lives. In some cases, they're dropping insurance altogether. So this is not sustainable. This is really bad for society. And it's leaving individual families with the agony of knowing there's a drug that can save their baby's life or their life or some loved one's life, but they actually can't afford it. No cake sales is going to do it. No begging on the internet is going to do it. They just don't have the money and can't raise it. That's what Bill and Dawn Patterson, this family in Ohio, that's exactly what they're facing right now. She and their two children have a very rare bone disease that's only controlled by a drug that was priced at, catch this, $6 million for the family for 1 year. Now, that got a lot of publicity, okay? New York Times got the story and everybody jumped in. So the manufacturer said, okay, we hear you. We're going to slash the price. Still, for that family, the price of that drug last year was $1.5 million. At one point last year, 35 cents of every dollar that Bill's union members made, 35 cents of every buck, went to the maker of his family's drug. So now the union obviously is debating how much longer they can continue to cover Bill and his wife and the kids. It's not sustainable. So Jill, let's back up a minute, Let's take a look at why we got into this dilemma with these orphan drugs. So, it comes down to, this old saying, for every good deed, eventually there's a punishment. Oh. Yeah, you heard that one. Sooner or later.
No, but it's just, it is so.
Unintended consequences.
Exactly. The law. There was a great book from good, about 20 maybe 30 years ago, Edward Tenner, Why Things Bite Back, the law of unintended consequences. And, it seems like such an obvious thing, but what good is a miracle drug if you can't afford it? What good?
What good? Can't do it. So, and here's what's behind it. So back in 1983, there weren't any drugs for these rare diseases, right? And people were dying in the air. So Congress said, hey, let's get our act together. We're going to pass the Orphan Drug Act. Really good idea, right? Let's spur these pharmaceutical companies, these drug makers, to develop drugs for diseases with fewer than 200,000 patients that have no medicine whatsoever. And they decided, okay, let's give these makers some subsidies, direct subsidies. Let's give them tax breaks. Here's the biggie. They gave them a guarantee of no competition. Now, that alone, that combination alone, made those drugs for rare diseases potentially worth billions of dollars. Now add a couple more elements. Copycat generics, you know, these copies of name brand drugs, exactly the same and safe and so on, but 80% cheaper. They're now 90% of all the drugs that we're taking in the United States now are copycat drugs with much lower prices and much lower profits. That forced Big Pharma, thinking about Wall Street and their shareholders, to look for, I love this phrase, another profit engine. Okay, here they need a profit engine. So they turned to creating these monopoly drugs for orphan diseases. And they did that just as their researchers were beginning to crack the code of generic illnesses. Now we had two more elements. The Affordable Care Act came along. They banned all annual and lifetime limits on insurance coverage for drugs. You couldn't cap those drug prices any longer. The ACA paid it. And Medicare and Medicaid to this day covers every drug that the FDA approves regardless of price. They do not take price into the equation. You want $1 million for that drug? Fine with us. $2 million, not our business, okay? So all obviously, all this opened up the door to the greed of the pharmaceuticals company's top executives. Once again, putting their shareholders before their customers, way before. So they put a price on saving a life of a person into the millions of dollars. The drugs save lives. Hey, save my life. But only if someone is paying the bill. So in my case, the cost of my drugs, my treatments, they've been picked up largely by my old employer, Time Warner, and Medicare. And then in the clinical trial, Novartis underwrote that because they're trying to develop a drug worth millions. In my case alone, Jill, my drug treatments and the drugs cost at least $5 million for my one life. But the cost of keeping Dawn Patterson alive, now she's much younger, right? Her cost to keep her alive in her lifetime is estimated at $60 million, her alone. Bill's union just surely won't be able to absorb all those costs. And that's going to leave them in a really difficult situation, much tougher than they're in right now. So, look, it's all this money floating around now for orphan drugs. So the tidal wave for orphan drugs has become a tsunami. And there's really no wonder to it. There are 7,000 rare diseases in this country. 30 million patients. That's 7,000 diseases, 30 million patients. That's equal to the market for diabetes and all diabetes drugs. Of the 59 newest drugs we have, 34 of them are for rare diseases. And when you look at the top grossing drugs, the top revenue drugs in this country, 7 of the 10 are for orphan diseases. So this seesaw has tilted way over. And in the next 5 years, it's going to get worse because experts are predicting 60 new gene therapies, which will begin at somewhere around $500,000 and climb to more than $2 million. Already, there's a gene therapy for infants at $2.1 million for one baby. Okay, Jill. So I said it was really annoying and really upsetting.
It's and I'm just weighing in.
What can you do about it?
Yeah, but also it's just the classic. You spend a lot of time talking about, you know, there's how many billionaires and and what about people who are just trying to pay their bills? They're not billionaires. You know what I mean? It's just so tilted to the top. I'm sure there's a much better word for it, and it's. you know, it's unfair. It's wrong.
It's really wrong. And even when you factor in the government getting involved and
still
having to
wrong.
Pay for this through Medicare and Medicaid, that's us, folks. Those are our taxes being spent on drugs. A one-shot drug looks like it can save the baby's life, but, you know, is it really a $2 million? Is that the right list price for that drug? Is that the price you
Gee, that's maybe where I would start on that. It's like, guys, how much profit do you – I feel this way about oil companies as well, so don't get me started. So what do we do? And you've got – just so you know, you've got 4 minutes left, and I know you want to say something about flu shots. So
We can – here's what I want to say. And I hesitate to say, you know, write your congressman. Okay, in this case, really urge your congressman, your senators, to pass either one of these two drug bills that we talked about last week. There is a Nancy Pelosi bill in the House. There's a Senate finance bill to cut drug costs. At the very least, both of those bills cap Medicare drug prices. So at least if you're a Medicare beneficiary, either one of those pass. They'll cap your drug costs at about $2,000 to $3,000 for the entire year, no matter what medicine you're taking. Right now, there's no cap. You pay 5% of whatever it is, and 5% of a $2 million drug, do the math. Nobody can afford that. Also, you know what? Urge your governor to get behind. There are laws in California and Vermont. Why isn't there one in the tri-state area that force pharma companies to justify high price increases? If they can't justify them, they have to roll them back. Now, you hear a lot of talk, Trump, I'm cutting costs of drugs, I'm the first president to ever do it, blah, blah, blah. Not true. This year alone, 3,400 drugs raised their prices by an average of 10.5%. That's five times the rate of inflation. So this nonsense has to stop, and your voice can help it stop. So pick up the phone and argue for sensible drug price controls. All right, one final thing on flu. I know, Jill, you love it when I bring up the flu and remind you to go get your flu shot. Okay, October is the time to do it. Remember, it takes a couple of weeks for the flu shot to kick in. Everyone should be getting their shots. That's babies from 6 months and older, when their immune systems have developed enough to make that vaccine viable for them, 6 months or older. If you're over 65, ask for the high dose flu shot, or ask your doctor about something called Fluzone Quadrivalent. Okay, Quadrivalent. That has four strains that it attacks rather than just the customary three. It's about 25% more effective. I think it's worth a $20 to $25 copay that you may get hit with. But at the bottom line, it's October. If you haven't gotten your flu shot, this is the time to do it. Go to your local pharmacy. They'll help you out. Call your doctor if you want the Quadrivalent. Okay, Jill, I know you'll be first in line.
Absolutely. Thank you, Frank. The healthcare detective and the health correspondent for Parade. Send your questions or concerns about finding affordable healthcare to healthcaredetective@robinhoodradio.com. Frank will try to address as many of your questions as he can on future broadcasts. Also, look for his book, Your Best Healthcare Now, available online, in store, wherever fine books are sold, and of course, on my desk.